Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study in Daniel chapter 9, verses 20 through 23, titled Gabriel's Arrival and Angelic Warfare. Daniel is praying when Gabriel arrives to give him the message that we now know as Daniel's 70 weeks prophecy. In this study, we look at Gabriel's arrival, and we consider some of the biblical facts about the ministry of angels. And in the next few studies, we will look closely at the 70 weeks prophecy delivered by Gabriel to Daniel in Daniel chapter 9. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com or send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we begin our study in Daniel chapter 9, verses 20 through 23, titled Gabriel's Arrival and Angelic Warfare. This is part 1 of 2.
Daniel 9, verses 20 through 23. Why is that coming up before my screen there? That's weird. Anyway, I'll go backwards. This is what we're titling, Gabriel's Arrival and Angelic Warfare. Daniel 9, 20 to 23. We'll come back to that. Just as a reminder, in chapter 8 and chapter 9, chapter 8 was under Babylonian rule. Chapter 9, we see it under Medo-Persian rule. Chapter 8, it ended with none understood it. Chapter 9, Gabriel's come to give thee skill and understanding. Chapter 8 ended around 163 BC as far as its prophecy. And in chapter 9, we're going to pick up and go through the 69th week into the future. All right, as we said, Gabriel's arrival and angelic warfare. Little reminder, the book of Daniel is not in exact chronological order. In case you didn't know this, your entire Bible is not in exact chronological order, and that confuses some people. But now, as of this chapter, we're getting back on the chronological trail. Got this little chart for you. You can kind of get an idea of where each chapter falls. You had chapters 1 through 4 did give you from the beginning of the Babylonian captivity to the end of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, with prophecy about the future, of course, but it was written during that time. Then chapter 5 actually took place at the time of the fall of Babylon. Then chapter 6 actually took place at the time of Cyrus. Chapter 7 and 8 took place during Belshazzar's, a co-regency. Nabonidus didn't really like being the ruler in Babylon, so he put Belshazzar in his place, not to be confused with Belteshazzar, who's Daniel, but Belshazzar. Then chapter 9, where we're at now, is back to the beginning of Cyrus' rule, and then chapters 10 through 12 take place in the next couple of years after this. And it's not really absolutely necessary for you to know that in order to understand the prophecy. But it's just good to know, good to have a grasp of that. So you are here on our little chart. And Daniel is ending his prayer. That's where we left off our... Yeah, that was like the maps you see at the mall when you're looking for Cinnabon. You can smell it everywhere, but it's hard.
It's on the second floor. No, it's not.
You're talking about at this mall here. Yeah.
Oh, I know where
yeah.
It's
yeah. So in our... Huh? So, yeah. We have some Cinnabon experts here. So during Q&A, if you have any questions about Cinnabon, they'll take the questions. But we're ending Daniel's prayer when we pick up verse 20. Daniel 9, let me turn my page here. Read that with me. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Stop there. So Daniel's saying, that's what I was doing. When we then jump into verse 21 in just a second. But I want to mention that he says that his supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. I'm not praying for any mountains, are you? It's because you're not a Jew. If you're a Jew, your promise is land. It's real estate. It sounds funny to say this, but most wars that have ever been fought are about real estate. And the coming war, the Mideast peace program, and all that stuff that you've been hearing my entire life, I've heard since I was old enough to know what was going on. I remember the stuff with Jimmy Carter, Menachem Begin, Anwar Sadat. I knew those names when I was in 6th and 7th grade. I knew these guys because they were on the news all the time. I was one of those weird kids who sat and watched the news. Walter Cronkite. I actually like, who's the guy on NBC? Chancellor? John Chancellor. Yeah, that was my favorite. But most of my friends had no favorites. You know what I mean? They didn't watch the news. But my entire life, it's all, and some of these guys like Bill Clinton, he really, you know, wanted to cement his name in history by being the president that brought peace to the Middle East. And sadly, Donald Trump has got caught up in that same nonsense. But it's kind of to be expected, but it's not going to happen. And it's all about real estate. It's all about land. So the Jews pray for their land in Old Jerusalem, but Christians pray looking for the New Jerusalem. That's the difference in our prayers. There's a joke that I can't give you I can't give credit because I can't remember where I heard it. But it's supposed to be a true story of a rabbi. And the rabbi would go down there and, you know, do the prayer at we call it the Wailing Wall. They really don't like it to be called that. The Orthodox Jews like it to be called the Western Wall. It's kind of like we call the Old Testament the Old Testament. They're like, no, it's the Hebrew Testament because they don't accept the New Testament. So anyway, the Western Wall or the Wailing Wall, whatever. And he's down there praying, and he was faithful, and he did like three times a day for an hour at a time, like 3 hours of a day of his life. And after doing that for like 40 or 50 years or something, he was interviewed, and they say, so you've been praying all these years for peace, and it just, there's no peace. And they said, how do you feel about that? And he says, sometimes I feel like I'm praying to a wall. And he was, because he wasn't praying in the name of Jesus. And so his prayers weren't really getting anywhere. And they're not going to. But he was praying about the right thing as a Jew. But he just won't. These Jews, most well, another thing I like is, you heard of Messianic Jews? I heard a Jew the other day who's he's a believer. He said, I'm not a Messianic Jew, I'm a Christian. And you think about that, folks. There's no such thing as a Messianic Jew. The Bible doesn't know anything about Messianic Jews. When Paul was a Jew, when he got saved, did he call himself a Messianic Jew? He called himself a Christian. And what you find is these Messianic Jews end up going off the deep end and all this weird stuff. And one of the reasons is because they start right off with the wrong attitude. Once you become a Christian, you're not a Jew anymore. You are a Christian. We're neither Jew nor Gentile. How many of you walk around calling yourself, I'm a Gentile believer? I'm a Gentile. The Bible says you're neither Jew nor Greek. You're neither Jew nor Gentile. We're Christians. And as Christians, we're not praying about real estate. We're praying. Well, I want to quote a couple of verses here. Revelation 3:12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him. I love that. Some of the fundamentalists don't like this because it's suggestive of a tattoo. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem. Not the old one. New Jerusalem. Which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him the my new name. You know, Jews face toward Jerusalem when they pray. I have to admit, I'm not real sure. I know that would be somewhere due east when he'd pray. But people have asked me, they said, you know, the Muslims pray toward Mecca and the Jews pray toward Jerusalem. Where do Christians pray toward? I said, due north. Our home's up there. It's going to come down out of heaven, the new Jerusalem. And by the way, the Bible says that that's where heaven is. It's not, people say, oh, heaven's just up. Well, then the Chinese would go to an opposite direction. It's not just up, it's north. Whenever you read about Lucifer being cast out of heaven, he's cast out of the sides of the north. The psalmist says promotion comes neither from the east, the west, or the south, because it comes from the north. Amen? The Jewish promised land is an earthly promise. Ours is a heavenly promise. And we were told that in Galatians 4:26. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. That's why we don't pray to Mother Mary. I love Mary. I think I love Mary more than some Catholics, because they love a false Mary. But I love the real Mary. I cannot wait to see Mary after I see Jesus and some of my other loved ones. But she's up there. She's up there on the list, but she's not the top. And we're not to pray to her. Amen? The church isn't your mother either. Every Roman Catholic you know will tell you they have a mother church. Well, they might, but Christians don't. New Jerusalem is the mother of us all. Amen. I have Christians who don't read their Bible who look at me funny when I say that. They'll be talking about this stuff going on with people calling the church their mother and praying to Mother Mary, and I'll say, New Jerusalem is my mother. They just look at you like, what does that mean? It means I read my Bible. Meanwhile, as Daniel prays, verse 21, read it. Yea, whiles I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. That's the evening sacrifice. Gabriel is a man who flies swiftly. Dun, 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 dun. What is the Superman theme? I can't remember. Something like that. Just another reminder. They copied Superman's flying skills from the Bible. The Bible was here way before Superman. And Gabriel is a man who flies, just like Superman. Only, according to the Bible, there's no mention of him having a cape. There's also no mention of him having wings. And you know, I just told somebody, they said, well, that doesn't mean he didn't have wings. I just think that of all the mentions of angels in the Bible, if they had wings, at some point they'd say, there's this man with wings. Don't you think? True. Didn't say they have, you know, don't have four legs. It doesn't say that they don't have an eye in the middle of their head either, but I'm pretty sure they didn't.
It doesn't say that they have a head.
True. See? I rest Stephen's case. Yes, Johnny?
Well, I mentioned to say just from the context here, I definitely say Gabriel must have looked just like a man.
Yeah. That's the point.
Calling him a man right there, but we know he's not an actual man, is he?
Right.
So that would imply that it's being...
Well, let's look at that, Johnny. Luke chapter 2. Go over to Luke chapter 2. Let's see. Because I want to tell you something. All my life I heard people say, you're not going to be an angel when you go to heaven. And that's true. But the Bible makes it look like it's going to be pretty close. We're not going to be angels. But like we've been talking in our Philippians studies, we're not going to be Jesus either, but we will be like Him. We'll be as He is. You know what they call Jesus? The angel of the Lord. The Old Testament. It's not the same, but it's awfully close. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 13. And I'll pretend I'm telling you to go there as I try to get there. Look at verse 13, says, "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness." I'm in chapter 1, ain't I? That's still good, ain't it? Amen? Isn't that good? Stephen and I are on the same wavelength tonight, which is scary. Luke chapter 2, verse 13. Now read it with me. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is to come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us." So there you got a couple other things about these angels, is that they sing. There's with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, and that language structure suggests clearly that these heavenly hosts are also angels. With the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. Now, so you hear people say, heaven sounds boring, just going to sit around playing our harp and singing. It's not what we're going to do all the time, but we are going to do some of that. And I'm looking forward to that. I don't know about the harp thing. If God wants to just give us the ability to play the harp, we'll do it. Or accordions. Wouldn't that be neat? Huh? We'll see, Charlie. You can't prove that from the Bible. An awful lot of them, and some of them sound pretty familiar, but it's like the animals, they all have their kind. So you might have the different instruments and then their kind. Stringed instruments, so it'd be like a harp or a guitar and that sort of thing. But anyway, notice that it also says the angels were gone away from them into heaven. So these are a bunch of flying angels. But we already saw that they are called men. It seems clear that while Jesus is the angel of the Lord, but not an angel, the angels were like Jesus, the way we will be. But we are still not angels, and we're not Jesus. See that? The old preacher used to say, we're not going to be angels, but it sure do get close. And Jesus flew. Go to Acts chapter 1. He ascended to heaven. Didn't say a helicopter picked him up. Didn't say there was any UFOs. He flew. The angels fly. You're going to be like Jesus. You're going to fly. See the connection there? Yeah, Doug?
We're created in His image.
Well, that's said about us that we were originally created in His image.
Well, what I'm saying
is mankind itself, but then Adam. Adam was the first. It was called the first Adam, and Jesus is the second Adam, because Adam, before the fall, would have been like the glorified Jesus. Which we're going to be like.
Right. So as we become, Matthew 5, or what is it?
But the.
It talks about being therefore perfect even as our Father in heaven. Mm-hmm. So our perfection is in.
When we're glorified. But the angels are called the sons of God before we were. Yeah. But the glorified angels, the holy angels, are called sons of God. They were created sons of God. we're called sons of God by adoption. And then we are going to be transformed to be as Jesus, who is called the angel of the Lord, who was the second Adam. Just get a piece of paper and write all that down, and then look at, step back and look at it. It's my case that there's a distinction. There's a distinction. But the difference, for example, there are differences. But we're going to be like. We're going to be like Jesus. Well, let's look at another one here. Oh, I even put that in a slide. It's a distinction with a difference. So it's important to get that. Because, you know, you go to funerals and people say, oh, God needed another angel in heaven, so he killed this guy. Man, hope God doesn't run out of angels anytime soon. You're all going to die. You ever heard that? I've been at funerals and standing around looking at the carcass in the casket, and somebody says, well, God was lonely, so he had to take him to heaven. You're like, shut up, that's creepy. I don't think God kills people because he's getting lonely. You know, people say the dumbest things. As what's his name used to say, that had that TV show about kids. Yeah. But Daniel, we'll come back to this in a second. Go to Daniel 9, look at verse 22. So here comes Gabriel, the man Gabriel. He's flying swiftly. He touches Daniel. That says something about what he's made of. It's a spirit, ministering spirit, but they are physical too. Isn't it? Because he touched Daniel here. Verse 22 says, and he informed me and talked with me and said, oh, Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. So Gabriel has a message. But I want to tell you something. The lexicons and all the Greek teachers and professors that I have heard talk about this are dead wrong. They will teach that angel means messenger. Yeah, that's wrong. It doesn't mean a messenger, being a messenger is one of the things they do. It's not what they are. They do a lot of other things too. A ministering spirit is what the Bible calls them. See, what they did was when they started making these lexicons, instead of going to the Bible and saying, the Bible says an angel is a ministering spirit. That should be your definition. God's right. Amen? God's right. Now, what they did was they went and found a bunch of pagan uses of the word angel. And the pagans would use the word angel, angelos in Greek, to refer to people who were messengers. So then they put in the lexicon, then the word means messenger. And so all the Greek professors who like to pretend they know the language, and all the preachers who went to seminary and some who didn't, who love to stand on the pulpit and pretend they know Greek, tell you, like they know, that the word angel, angelos, means messenger. You see how that worked? Satan has so easy a time of it when it comes to Christians, pastors, professors. He can screw them up without hardly any effort whatsoever. And this thing's been going on for way past my lifetime, before I was ever born. How many of you heard preachers get up and say, now, in order to understand this word, we have to understand that there are more than one word in Greek for the word love. There is agape, there is phileo, and there is eros. And now this form of the word love is agape. And you poor, pathetic human beings here in America, you wouldn't know the difference because you use the word love. And the word love, it's lost its meaning. And blah, 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 blah. I need to buy that. There's a pen at Der Dutchman where you push the button and it goes blah, 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 blah. Makes that noise. That's a load of nonsense. You can go get your little concordance, and you can do a word study on the word love. You can look up the Greek word used, and you will see that the word agape is used in different ways at different times in the Bible. Sometimes it's used as this godlike love. Other times it's used as brotherly love, like phileo. Other times it's used like love you would have for your wife. Different ways. And the same thing's true with phileo, and the word eros isn't even in the Greek New Testament. And you'll hear this stuff from these guys, and they want to make you think they know more than you. We talked about the people Sunday who want to tell you that God told me. The Lord told me. In other words, you're a peon spiritually. Wouldn't it be nice if you were as spiritual as me and Jesus talked to you and told you things like he does me? But poor little peon you. That's what they're trying to say. And Christians are getting sucked into this, and it makes them think that they don't have a good relationship with the Lord. Because if the problem is they're honest. They know Jesus isn't talking to them. And they know they don't know Greek. And so and they're honest enough to say so. So then they're stuck in a trap to think it's basically the same thing as the priest class. You got this class of Christians who people think are super spiritual. How's the song go again? Superman? That's what they want you to think. I know Greek. And Jesus talks to me. The Lord told me. You hear Jesus talking to you. Because I'm honest. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that. So that's what's going on. And they want you to think this stuff so that they can then correct the Bible and make you think they know something. And if you fall for that, you end up being blind, following the blind into a ditch. And the word angel is not messenger, no matter what the Greeks say. The Bible says it's a ministering spirit. And I give it this from my King James with its inbuilt dictionary. A ministering spirit who is always male and is never said to have wings, delivers messages, fights evil spirits, executes God's judgments, announces events, and appears to sing. That's an angel. If you've got a lexicon at home, I always tell everybody, don't throw it away. Keep it, because we may have an EMP go off and you'll need something to burn. That's what your lexicons are worth right there. Verse 23 then says, at the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. We are going to get into that in our next study. And I'm going to get a cough drop before I start packing on you. But what we're about to study in the verses 24 through 27 is one of the most...
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.